serious enough that they needed to be evacuated to a military hospital in Germany. The U.S. military operation took out senior ISIS leader Hamza al-Hamzi, who supplied suicide vests to other operatives. CBS's David Martin.
U.S. Special Operations Forces went in by helicopter and surrounded a nondescript house in northeastern Syria. But as they closed in on their target, an explosion, either a suicide vest or a hand grenade, went off.
It's an east-west doubleheader for SpaceX, CBS's Peter King explains.
Started with this launch from Vandenberg Space Force Base in California.
Engines full power and liftoff.
That Falcon 9 carried dozens of Starlink internet satellites into orbit. If all goes as planned, launch number two comes later tonight as the company launches another Falcon 9, this one from Cape Canaveral, carrying a British communications satellite. The first SpaceX human flight of the year is expected to take four astronauts to the International Space Station a week from Sunday. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
A jury tonight could not make a decision in the double murder trial of former Pentagon police officer David Dixon. A mistrial has been declared. WTOP's Kyle Cooper.
Dixon, who was off duty, says he was acting in self-defense when he fired into a car leaving his apartment complex. Killed were Dominique Williams and James Johnson. The two were suspected of breaking into cars. David Haynes is an attorney for the Johnson family.
This has all been very difficult to relive. But at the same time, the family is very determined that they see justice.
Kyle Cooper for CBS News, Washington.
This is CBS News.
You know, it's true. Difficult times have a way of focusing us. We have to think about what matters most when it comes to our spending, our health care. No doubt, this is why so many people are joining MediShare right now. MediShare is a trusted way to save up to 50% on your monthly healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people have already made the switch. It's pretty obvious why, too, especially now during this challenging season with healthcare costs and out-of-pocket expenses going up. MediShare can save you a lot of money. The typical family saves $500 a month. And MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry that's worked beautifully for 29 years. There are different options to choose from to fit your budget. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Maybe now is the perfect time to make the switch and start saving. Here you go. Call 866-88-BIBLE. That's 866-88-BIBLE. 866-88-BIBLE.
CBS's Jim Crisul.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go.
I
didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 20 tonight under partly cloudy skies, southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. A mix of clouds and sun again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 40. Lows dip down to about 25. Tomorrow night, mainly cloudy skies expected. A dusting of snow Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 24.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome to the 1 o'clock No Sour Ha Ha Funny Hour. We are back on the No Sour Ha Ha Funny Power Hour. What is it, Greg?
The No Sour Fun Time Ha Ha Power Hour.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. We are 1 hour away from the weekend. Cannot wait to have a couple days off. And so I hope you are excited. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin, the No Sour Ha Ha Funny Power Hour. I get it?
That was close. I think it should remain fluid.
Okay, I like that. I like that. We are obviously here with Jane Matinere, and we have a very loose, fun last hour of this week for you today. So start thinking at 1:30 about your opinions on the following. When is it okay to ghost? If you ghost, can you ever come back? And when, if ever, can you talk to your friend about how much you don't like or are worried about their current chosen partner?
Oh, that's a good one.
And so we have we will debate those and what and compare our feelings to New York Magazine at 1:30. So if you have thoughts on that immediately, please let us know. You can join the conversation on that topic at 844-967-2789, or you can always comment on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter on the live stream. But for now, Jane, gut instinct.
Yes.
Are rich people smarter than the rest of us?
As a whole?
In general.
No.
I would say that too.
No.
And now apparently there's a study that shows that.
yet another study. Yay.
Yet another study.
Good.
So this was one, are rich people really smart? And I don't know if that means, like, are they really smart or are they really smart? I don't know what the connotation and the tone is supposed to be.
Sure.
when reading that. But this study found top 1% aren't any brighter than others with good salaries. With good, I think the caveat there being good salaries.
Good salaries, yeah.
And so this is a study out of Sweden that said making a six-figure salary does not necessarily mean you're the smartest person in the room, which I would agree with that.
Absolutely.
So much of it decides on what career you decide to take, right? But while people with higher incomes do tend to score higher on IQ tests, the association only goes so far. In fact, some rich people in the top 1% of earners display less intelligence than their peers earning considerably less.
Fascinating.
So I also feel like, how much does this come back to there are different types of intelligence? And so how do you measure intelligence? Because I think there are some people who can just remember everything,
mm-hmm,
and like have photographic memories or can their recall for facts. Like I always think about that. I feel like I have a very good vague, like it's like Brian Williams at the beginning of the show. It's like, I know that he recently retired. I cannot, without looking it up, I cannot tell you what year.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
And same thing with his scandal. I couldn't have, I know that that happened. I don't, and I know the story that he embellished took place in 2003, but I don't know what year the scandal happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so there's certain people who are really good at that
but
stuff.
But that's recall.
That's recall. And then like, I feel like I am good, I've, fairly good critical thinker. So given the information, I feel like I can make associations pretty quickly. I can make an argument pretty quickly. But like, there's other types of intelligence that I know that I would just get smoked in by other people, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so sometimes whenever I see things like this, it's like, all right, what kind of intelligence are we talking about? But I also go to, what drives you? Like, I feel like people who are rich or become rich, and I think we can take out people who inherit wealth, which is a big portion of the population.
Yes, it
who
is.
Has wealth.
Yes, it is.
But if we take out the poor, if people who've, let's, for this, and that's even a weird phrase, but like made their money. I also have often wondered, like, how much it has to do with you just wanting to make money. Because I would say, and this is not to disparage salespeople, but people who go into sales often are driven by money and can make a lot of it.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think so often there is a trade-off between some people, the very rare air are the people who can do the thing that they're passionate about and are fulfilled by intellectually and emotionally and are still raking in the dough.
Yeah, that's almost impossible.
Right? Like, I think most the corporate secure life of a six-figure job with benefits and stock options and guaranteed like increases to your wage to keep up with inflation also often comes with the price tag of a soul sucking why do I care about this
cubicle job?
Yes.
Or in that case, probably a nicer office, but still.
Yeah, maybe not a cubicle, but it's kind of the like, because that is so often how I felt when I was still in tech and doing sales, was like, we're worried about what?
And why does this matter?
Why does this matter? Because the software for the company I was with for the longest sold a testing software for websites. So basically, it was the first of its kind, and then it was fairly easy replicated. But it was basically allowing marketers to make tweaks to the website and then siphon off traffic to see different versions of the website to test how people interacted with it.
Oh.
So they could change a button and like the call to action on the button.
Okay.
Or change the wording and then be able to actually test and see how did people...
The users were finding it.
And it all started with the two founders had worked on Obama's 2008 campaign. And they had been back-end coders, and they could do this testing on websites, but you needed to know a lot more coding to be able to do that kind of testing. And, like, they would do different tests, and he would, like, one option was the clear winner because he'd have a way more fundraising or, like, funds donated on this option versus this option. So it was a useful tool.
Sure.
But the way we talked about it, like, we were changing the world through data-driven decisions.
About website design.
About website design. And it was, you know, it's largely, it's like, let us make you, company, make more money. And that's all most of these jobs come back to. It's just like, if you are in a B2B company, you are trying to, your value props are basically saving time and or money one way or another for that company. And if you're a B2C company, you're basically trying to extract money or sell your audience as something to sell things to.
Yes.
And so, you know, like ultimately, I think the price tag for most of these six-figure type jobs is to do something that every once in a while you're like, oh, man, this is pointless.
Or even more, couldn't I be doing something that would make a difference, even in a small way?
Yeah.
That would be more fulfilling?
So anyways, that is all to tie back to this study where it's like, I've never thought that you necessarily, that people who are making in the 1%, first of all, I think a lot of people in the 1% inherited that. And certainly that does not make them smarter. But also even people who are making a lot of money, it's how are you measuring intelligence versus access?
Well, and access is a good point because a lot of it is connections. And a lot of it is nepotism. What school you went to, what, you know, country clubs your parents belonged to, that, from what I understand, can be really useful when you're trying to climb the corporate ladder and your dad and the company's granddad used to golf together. And you know what, son? I know you're just out of college and you have no experience, but come join our company and we'll start you at six figures.
Well, that's like one of the, that's like job application 101, especially with LinkedIn. Like when LinkedIn first started becoming really popular in the late 2000s, early 2010s, you know, you could do searches on people at that company who went to your school.
Oh, wow.
And so you could just send notes, like DMs or messages on LinkedIn and be like, hey, I see there's this opening at your company. I'm an alumni of so-so-so. And like trying to find the way in. And often that works, right? That it works as far as having some kind of like tribal recognition of mm-hmm. we were from the same, I can vouch for this person because I know we went to the same school or something like that. But it also, this is a somber note to end on, but it ties because I just came across this quote that I think is, it's relevant. But here it is. I am somehow less interested in the weight and convolutions of Einstein's brain than in the near certainty that people of equal talent have lived and died in cotton fields and sweatshops.
Oh.
Stephen Jay Gould. You know what I mean? Like,
I do.
It's so much more about access than actual intelligence or talent and luck.
And opportunity. Which is access also, I guess.
And so, anyways, I just thought that was interesting. I think it's interesting that people are studying that. I also wonder how wealthy the people who are studying it are.
That's a good question. I want to know how they got rich people to study them and what the pitch was. Because you can't just walk up to someone and say, I know you're really rich, but are you smart? Let's take a test.
And is it just IQ tests? Because I feel like IQ tests can be biased.
They just start with easy things like tying your shoes.
I asked Mike this morning. It was like, Not just flattering me, but do you think I'm smarter than you? And he, without pausing, goes, yes. And I was like, all right, love you.
He also knows considerably early in your marriage how to make things smooth. So props to Michael.
Props to Mike. Happy wife, happy life. All right. When we come back, speaking of happy wife, happy life, we watched my favorite movie as a kid last night, and I have thoughts about it. So if you have strong feelings about the movie Newsies, we would love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
If I were a rich man, yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum, all day long I bitty-bitty-bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. Lord, who made the lion and the lamb, you decreed I should be what I am. Would it spoil some vast eternal?
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crudités at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudies takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madinaire. We are rolling through this Friday. Kind of an easy show.
Easy breezy.
Easy topics. We had a good week.
We did have a good week.
We had a great
week. Some wonderful, wonderful guests.
Yeah.
And again, if you can, go back and listen to some of the podcasts. Again, I'm thinking about John from Monday, who lives near East Palestine, Ohio, where this train derailment went down. He just has really great perspective and some historical perspective, too, on how we got here.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and it's interesting to hear him talk. He has such an interesting perspective as someone who's from that area, left, went to Cornell, and went back, right? I think as we were just having that conversation about access and someone who he talks about his opportunity to go to an Ivy League school, but he got there and very much felt like a fish out of water.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then, you know, later in life decided to go back. And what he's doing now as far as trying to make media for, do independent media for the rest of us, right? Or people who are left behind and make the connection so often with people who, you know, if they have politics at all, it's on the surface seems like it aligns with a lot of the talking points on from the Republican side of things. But as he, as a dive bar bartender, has these conversations, like, it's so fascinating to hear him to have these conversations with people. And I actually said to Mike, I was like, we should go visit him. Wouldn't that be fascinating as far as be like a total different kind of culture shock of that exists in our country?
Yes.
Of just how people live, how people are, but still like the community that connects them in, mm-hmm. in that area. And so, but yes, definitely go back and listen to some of the podcasts on the YouTube channel this morning. I took out just the interview with Ron Johnson from yesterday.
Who was, we just couldn't have been more thrilled that he joined us again.
Do you think that precludes us from ever actually having him on the show?
We can always ask.
I always wonder that as far as how we progress in this show and invite open door for everyone and to want to have lots of different types of conversations with people from very different perspectives and sides of the aisle. But sometimes I also wonder, it's like, all right, well, if we do segments like that, where we're very much poking fun, are we setting ourselves up to basically never get a yes from any of these people?
Well, I guess it will depend upon what kind of sense of humor they have.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And whether or not they can take a little gentle ribbing.
Because I think Ryan Johnson used to go on The Devils a fair amount.
He did, at one time.
At one time.
At one time.
I'm not sure Robin Voss has ever gone on The Devil's Advocates.
And he just seems like a chuckle meister. I think he would just be so much fun to have on. And yeah.
I tried to ask that once of Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, who was in the assembly before he left that seat when he won county executive. I asked him on air and he politely declined to answer. I was like, who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? And he did not answer that question. But we could always ask
Todd.
But just, I wonder how many Todd, this is Todd Albo of the Todd Albo Show, which is on 8 to 11. He hasn't been in there for a little while, though.
True.
So it's like the current batch of GOP members versus, you know, pre-redistricting 2011. I don't, off the top of my head, I don't know how much overlap there is.
There would
still
be.
Still serving. I certainly know of the Democratic lawmakers, some who are very fun to drink with.
Oh.
I've done it with some of them.
Oh, care to share?
Fran Hong's very fun.
We've had.
I don't think that's probably
a
surprise.
That's not a shock. Yeah, we've had Fran on the show.
She might be the only one I've actually
had a drink with.
Everyone else other people I've hung out with and been at events and they are there and they are fun to talk to. But I'm not sure if she might be the only one I've actually drank with.
Well, I wouldn't expect a lot of them going to come forward to go drinking with you now.
That's fair. I'm not saying we got drunk. I'm just saying
I understand that.
Francesca's hot. She's very fun.
She is fun.
All right. Well, so you said earlier that you've never seen the movie Newsies.
No.
Man, we got to remedy that.
It was never even a blip.
And it's funny to think of. So the whole reason this came up was Mike has the idea that we should rewatch like our childhood movies.
Oh.
And so he has his list, and I'm supposed to come up with my list.
Okay.
And last night, I had hit a wall, and so I was like, I can't work anymore. So he's like, all right, well, what's first on your list? the one that is always the first on my list, because I watched it, I think, almost every day before school, which was pretty impressive, because watching it last night, it's not a short. It's not like a Disney. It is Disney, but it's not a animated film short movie.
Right.
It is 2 hours.
Oh, my.
And we watched it. I still know every single lyric. I was just singing along to everything, and I was driving them nuts. But
any female characters in that movie?
There's two very small, like smaller female characters. There's the performer, Meta, who is played by Anne Margaret.
Wow.
Yeah. And so she has two songs of her kind of playing, like, it's not quite burlesque, but she is like a performer.
Sure.
And then there is the sister of one of the main characters, who's the love interest of a young Christian Bale, who is the main character. But what I always love, and then of course I went down the Wikipedia rabbit hole last night, is this was based off of a true story.
Newsies.
Newsies is based off of, there were actual, it was a 2-week strike of newsies, newsboys of Hearst and Pulitzer in 1899. And as I was reading the Wikipedia article that had links to actual historical events and who the leaders were and stuff, they did a pretty good job of sticking to it. And so what I want to know is, when is HBO going to make this into a gritty time, like, period piece and limited series and take out the musical part of it, but actually tell the story? Because it is fascinating. So go watch Newsies. Let me report back if you think it holds up. All right, when we come back, what's your opinion about ghosting? What is the etiquette there? This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You can say how are you or get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You can write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you can write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking.
Chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 20 tonight under partly cloudy skies, southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. A mix of clouds and sun again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 40. Lows dip down to about 25 tomorrow night, mainly cloudy skies expected. A dusting of snow Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 24.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together, we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 20 tonight under partly cloudy skies, southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. A mix of clouds and sun again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 40. Lows dip down to about 25. Tomorrow night, mainly cloudy skies expected. A dusting of snow Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 24.
It's 8 o'clock and we're ready to rock. Get your elbows off the table. Put your napkin in your lap. Stop playing with your food and join us in our rap. Check it out. This is how the table's set. Knives on the right, forks on the left. Spoons chilling next to the knife. Plates in the middle. And the glass is to the right. Utensils are used from outside.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Metnair. And Todd Alba did decide to text us who's fun to get a drink with in the GOP.
Fantastic.
I said, I was like, do you want me to say this was anonymous? He goes, I don't care. So I got a text from Todd saying, Paul Ryan is actually a decent guy to get a drink with.
Fascinating.
That doesn't surprise me. I think Paul Ryan's probably a really decent guy. I feel like, I know, but this is what I'm saying. Like, I feel like there are people who you have policy differences with, and once they have power, it's much easier to feel like I despise you. No, you're not buying it?
I may have bought that a few years ago.
How many years ago?
A few. Certainly before.
Like pre-2016?
I would say pre-2016.
But that was when he had more power. I mean, he basically stepped down in 2018.
But he had an opportunity to wield some of that power, and I believe he chose not to do that.
Okay.
In a way that I would have appreciated.
So you're not going to drink with him anytime soon.
I'd buy him absolutely. There's tons of things I would love to ask Paul Ryan, if given the opportunity, and a little liquid libation.
There you go. There you go. Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
That made my whole week, Todd.
And is as impersonable in person as you see him in public.
Ooh, this is a juicy hour.
He said Senator Rob Coles of Green Bay is a decent guy to grab a drink with.
Cool.
And then he said, oddly enough, Glenn Grothman, who doesn't really drink, is an interesting person to have dinner with. He's a conversationalist, a wacky one, but it is interesting. But it is interesting conversation. And there you go.
Thank you. Thank you,
Todd.
Yeah, pulling back the congressional curtain. That's great.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I've heard Todd Novak's okay to have a drink with.
Yeah.
That was not from Todd Alba. That was from someone else that I won't name on air. But yeah, it's funny. It's interesting.
Well, you can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789 and tell us who you're running into in Madison and tipping a few
who with. Who have you seen at Jenna's besides Jesse Apoyan?
And hopefully we're going to talk to her next week.
Yes, 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 yes. All right. So back to some debates on etiquette. Now, this has to do with ghosting. And we were saying before, that was not really as much of a, you certainly didn't call it ghosting, but well, when you were in the dating pool.
For people, explain what ghosting is.
Ghosting is when you are talking to someone romantically and basically you just stop communication.
So this could be, you know, direct messages or texting. Is it more about what texting?
I think it's you've gone on some dates.
Okay.
Well, and that's what the first piece of etiquette is, basically when you can and cannot ghost. Because I would say my impression of times I have ghosted or have been ghosted is like you've gone on at least a couple dates. You have been texting. You have been in communication, especially in situations where the initial lust and excitement is pretty, you're both feeling it.
Okay.
And then without reason, one of you is just cold, just goes cold.
And goes away.
And just kind of goes away. And you're left with, why, what happened?
I thought this was going pretty well.
Yeah. Or like there wasn't an obvious reason or even any kind of conversation around, hey, this isn't really working out.
Sure.
largely it's seen as a way to not have that awkward conversation of, I don't see this going anywhere.
Right.
Because it is awkward, right?
Of course
and,
it is.
You're going to hurt someone's feelings no matter what.
Yes.
So number one, see if you agree with this. Both at home, you can either text us 844-967-2789 or leave a comment in the live chat. It's okay to ghost after one date. And then I'll give more context.
I find that an interesting free space. I mean,
I would say yes.
Yeah.
If it's only been one date.
Okay.
Because that's the trial period. It's like, sure. Oh, we met in person.
I wasn't really that into you.
Yeah. So you met up for a drink after work, discussed work, school, and siblings for 90 minutes, and ended the evening with a non-committal, let's do this again sometime. Now it's been 3 days and you're wondering what you owe this person you don't particularly want to see again. You could send a text letting them know, letting them down gently, but it's also fine to say nothing. At this point, neither of you has put so much energy into the interaction that it warrants a formal ending. And besides, nobody likes getting rejected by someone they didn't care about that much in the first place. I was going to ghost you. Oh,
that's painful, but true.
There are exceptions if you've been texting a lot after the date or you've clearly talked about going on another one, then there is a social contract not to ghost.
Just, it's hard. Just do it.
I will say the preemptive, hey, I don't see this going anywhere, when you were feeling the same way, there is a pettiness to that that you didn't get to say it first.
So, such are the pitfalls of dating.
So then this is one that I also definitely agree with and certainly have my own experience with. If you ghost someone, stay gone forever. Why, no take backsies.
Well, right. Why would you do this?
Oh, I have had what is there? There's a social media influencer named, her nickname is Tanks. I forgot exactly how it goes, but basically, like, with men, they either never get over you or they always come back or something like that. And in my experience, that is true. There has been the handful of times in a situation where I was talking to someone and then it kind of fizzled out on their end. 4 months, 6 months, a year later, all of a sudden I get a DM or a text.
Really?
And like, hey, how's life going?
Just checking on you.
Just checking in. And it's like, what? What happened to you, dude? Like, just break up with someone? Like, what? Just wait. Why are you back? I feel like, you know, I think I really messed up. And like, and now I'm happily married. So
I was going to say, obviously, none of those went anywhere.
But this is, I don't ghost people because abandonment is my. This is the person who wrote this, not me. I don't ghost people because abandonment is my central trauma, and passive aggressive has never been my style. I suppose I can understand the appeal of ghosting as an easy way to cut someone off for whatever reason or for none at all. What I cannot understand is ghosting someone and then coming back several years later to request a favor that would have been a considerable ask even if we had remained friendly.
Well, no, geez.
And so, yeah, I would say even without the ask, even just the friendly, like, what's up? Like, I think it's if you ghost, you're sacrificing any kind of friendly contact with that person. If it was a mutual fizzle, I think that's fine. Especially because, again, with the social media world, if you mm-hmm. start following each other on social media and you're like, well, this wasn't really going to go anywhere, but we still follow each other and I have no ill will towards you. So
right.
I'm fine laughing at this thing that you posted or liking that you got a promotion or whatever. Like, it's no skin off my back. All right. But this is the big one. If your friend is dating someone you seriously object to, you have one shot to sit down with your friend and say so.
It's very, very dangerous.
To say it at all?
It's very, very dangerous. You got to be, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Because you must have been in relationships that once they ended, your friends came forward and said, you know, I never really liked him. Because I have.
I And, have. Yes, I have.
And if they had told me while I was still starry-eyed about this person, I don't know that I would have taken that very well. Because, again, don't forget, if you're in the beginning of a relationship, which is when everything ostensibly is supposed to be really good, and you have that great fluttery feeling, and your best friend Julia says, you know what, I think he's a schmuck.
So you don't think that even, so this is what the rest of the advice says, or rule says. The conventional wisdom has been that unless your friend is being hurt, keep your opinion to yourself because it will damage your relationship. Our feeling is that you can share your reservations, but you have only one shot to do it. After that, your friend decides what they want to do, and you can't bring up your grievances again unless they ask. No eyebrow raises, no passive-aggressive observations either.
Do you really think that if Julia tells you, I think he's a schmuck, and that's all I'm ever going to say, that that's not going to stick with your friend no matter how that relationship goes? What if Julia ends up marrying the schmuck? And now she knows you think he's a schmuck.
But do you just not, you as a friend, you just have to suck it up that your friend's dating someone and you have to live with the fact that you never said anything?
Until they give you an opening or an invitation. I think that's very bold. Maybe I'm wrong. 844-967-2789. I just think that's a really tricky, really, really, maybe it's easier for men to...
Oh, I don't think it's easier for men.
To warn them, to warn them off.
Men are not... You think men are better communicators on average than women?
I just think they're more blunt sometimes. Would it be like, dude, I don't like her.
Is there a tactful way to do it that is not, I just think he's a schmuck? Could you,
I'm sure there's a more tactful way.
Like, is it, hey, this gives me pause, this aspect about him, or asking like somewhat leading questions? Because I had a short but intense relationship at one point, and one of my dear friends, who is the type of friend where we could go months if not years without talking to each other, but every time we actually, like, we were like bonded.
Yep.
On a deep level.
Yep.
And I remember one time, because she had already moved and she had met this guy and didn't say anything, and then whatever, within 10 months that relationship was over. And I remember talking to her later, she's like, oh yeah, I knew that wasn't going to go anywhere. I was like, why didn't you say anything? She's like, well, I knew it wasn't going to go anywhere. Like, and so it's potentially maybe also the weighing of, do you not say anything because you know it's not going to go anywhere?
Well, true. And hopefully it will burn itself out, right?
But what's the balance between I don't like this person versus they are a bad person? Right? Because like you can find someone to be deeply annoying, but they're not actually a bad guy.
True.
Like I just... Your jokes are not funny, man.
But you can't tell your friend Gary thinks he's hilarious and he's not. Doesn't she have to come to that realization on her own?
No, I know. But that's what I'm saying, as like being able to, because I said if the friend's being hurt.
Yes. That's one.
That's
thing.
A different category.
Okay.
But the as a friend, is do you give the warning? This one warning that New York Magazine says you get, it has to be based off of like your concerns that this is going to go south, right?
Sure.
Which brings up a whole other topic. I've been watching on social media the amount of like fights that happen between couples because of that Tubi commercial. So the Tubi commercial on Super Bowl, where it was like Tubi played a prank and the commercial looked like you were changing the channel. And so people started wondering, like, I asked Mike, I was like, are you changing the channel right now? What's happening? But this happened to everyone. And I've been watching videos of couples where the guy flipped out at his girlfriend and she moved out.
Wow.
Because she was like, if you get this angry over commercial, where is this going to go? And so I bring that up as far as like, if you as a friend can see, like, it's not that he's not funny. It's that, oh, I think there's underlying anger issues here. Are you obligated to bring that up? If you have thoughts, we will still continue this in our last segment. But for now, we are going to take one more break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The last ones left are what you'll use. And don't be a drip, wipe your lips, and mind your manners, man. So don't lick your lips and fingers too, but ask to be excused when you are through. Don't forget the words please and thank you. We said enough, and now we're through. So you're hip.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
To As Goes Wisconsin, I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we got 8 more minutes till the weekend. What are you doing this weekend?
I am actually having dinner with a good friend that I haven't seen in a while tonight. Tomorrow, my husband and I are going to go look for a door. We need a new door for... we need a new side door for the house.
Oh.
So, yes, it's very exciting.
Are you... Do you both have your criteria list of what you're looking for?
Yeah, actually, we do.
Do they match up?
Pretty closely. Okay. Pretty close. We've been married again. We've been together 21 years. So, yeah, we don't have a lot of arguments about stuff like that.
All right. I feel like that is, I'm trying to think if that was Mike and I. I would want him to go do the work, but I would want to have an opinion about the final say. That's basically what we're doing with our carpeting right now. So we're redoing the carpeting in our bedroom, and we have tons of carpeting options right now.
Oh gosh!
Because I was like, I don't trust you just to pick one. I want input, but then you can coordinate when they're gonna do it and all that stuff.
You can
do that.
What are we leaning towards? Blue, green,
kind of beige-ish.
Okay,
we're gonna do it a deep green accent wall. I love a good accent wall. So
who doesn't?
But we're going to the Make-A-Wish Foundation party tonight at Marcus Performing Arts Center.
Wonderful.
And so it is Mardi Gras themed. And so I have a big a purpley, sparkly dress that I'm wearing. But fun fact about it was coordinated with, I guess, Michael Jordan's 60th birthday. Because he, to celebrate his 60th birthday, he's making a tent. It's not really coordinated. I should say that. But it is. We are going to Make-A-Wish Foundation party tonight. And this also happened for Michael Jordan's 60th birthday, in that he is making a $10 million contribution to Make-A-Wish America.
Wow.
Which is the largest individual donation the organization has received since its founding 43 years ago. And so he's been a longtime supporter of Make-A-Wish Foundation. But he is one of the most popular celebrities requested for granting wishes.
Okay.
But he's not the GOAT.
He's not. There is someone more popular than Michael Jordan.
Well, I think in the way this is phrased, I'm wondering how much the person is requested versus how much this person has granted, who has followed up on their request.
Okay.
But if you had to guess.
Tiger Woods?
No, I just actually at the break, I just scrolled through. He had some stupid tampon prank that he pulled on someone. That he was golfing, I guess, and he outdrove this guy, so he passed him a tampon as a joke.
What?
I know. Tiger Woods is not necessarily... Oh, that's not someone I wanted to get a drink with,
to be honest. Scratch that off my list.
John Cena.
The wrestler.
The wrestler and actor. John Cena, who last year set a Guinness World Record for wishes with 650...
Wow.
The next no other celebrity has more than 200.
So are these all personal appearances or does this probably includes phone calls and videos and.
I don't know. I'd have to look up and see what all of his, like the wishes end up being. But that's a pretty big disparity.
Well,
that he's 450 higher than any other celebrity, the next closest.
And remarkably generous.
Yeah.
You know?
That's
terrific.
Isn't that terrific?
Yes.
John Cena, good guy.
And I suppose wrestling is one of those that has very wide appeal, especially for younger kids. Wrestling is still a big deal.
It is still a big deal. It's funny to me because I never know who any of these wrestlers are until they become actors. Right. I think I maybe knew The Rock a little bit as a wrestler, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly didn't know John Cena as a wrestler. It's like once they start making the transition from one type of entertainer to I show up in movies now.
Yeah.
Is when I actually learn about them. But Make-A-Wish Foundation has granted more than 500,000 wishes in total. And so
that's marvelous.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to doing that tonight, getting dressed up for a good cause.
And so, well done, Michael Jordan.
I know. You know, he's interesting because I think he's kind of an interesting character where I feel like had social media and like the access to famous people had been as prevalent when he was at his prime.
In his prime? Thank you, Don Lemon.
You know, I'm not sure he was the nicest guy either.
Oh, no.
I mean, like, there's, you know, and I think people kind of got to see that with The Last Dance and that documentary. Like, people who are that competitive are not always
gracious.
That, like, I think the way it was put to me once is that, like, the reason why Michael Jordan had a gambling problem is because he actually thought he was going to win. He thought he was going to beat the house, right?
Oh,
like,
okay.
That's how competitive he was versus the actual, like, dopamine addiction of I just
I'm doing it. Oh, that's interesting.
And so it's interesting to see his public persona as he's now gotten older, as I think it does for a lot of men, as far as the humbling effects of aging that it can have on you. And I think, you know, you watch his speech of when Kobe died and how vulnerable that was. But yeah, so at 60 years old, he's making a $10 million donation.
Well done. That's fantastic.
Which is good.
Yes.
So this has been a fun week, but now we're going to get some rest.
Don't forget to vote on Tuesday.
Yes. Don't forget to vote on Tuesday. We will remind you plenty on Monday when we are back. But have a safe weekend. I guess enjoy the weather if it's going to be 40 degrees on Sunday.
You know, it might only be 19 right now, but it's actually not too bad outside with the sunshine.
It looks, yeah. Driving in was glorious compared to what watching out my window yesterday looked like.
No, it's really not too bad.
So that'll about do it for us. You should stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I actually don't know what they have coming up today.
I am unsure. I believe Fancy Brian is on the road.
Yes, Fancy Brian was here, so I don't think he is here. So I wonder if Will is joining Luke today, or if you are listening to WXCO, you'll have the Chad Holmes show coming up. And then after that, you will have Matt Flynn, who I heard on Todd Apple this morning. It was actually, they also were talking about, from a legal perspective, what was going on with the Dominion Fox News thing, but he'll probably talk about that more on his show today. And then of course the show will end, the day will end, or at least the normal weekday lineup will end with Devil's Advocates at 4. But thank you for listening, thank you for texting, thank you for calling. We will see you on Monday. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Eat a root beer popsicle, shut off the AC and roll the windows down. Let that summer sunshine always stay humble and kind. Don't take for granted the love this life gives you. When you get where you're going, don't forget, turn back around.
Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Betterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. A Mississippi sheriff says a lone gunman is in custody after killing six people, including his ex-wife and stepfather, at multiple locations in the small town of Arkabutla near the Tennessee state line. More from CBS's Omar Villafranca.
By the time it was all over, police said four more people were found dead, two inside a home and two more outside near the suspect's house.
I look out the window and I see...
Ethan Cash said he came outside, saw the attacker carrying a long gun, then found one of the victims inside a truck.
I go up to the truck where a guy got shot at, and I check his pulse and everything, make sure he's okay. He's already gone at this point.
President Biden has issued a statement on the Mississippi mass shooting saying, quote, thoughts and prayers are not enough. Gun violence is an epidemic and Congress must act now. The five former Memphis police officers charged with murdering 29-year-old Tyree Nichols appears in court for the first time. CBS's Elise Preston was at the courthouse today.
Not guilty.
One by one and wearing masks, the five former Memphis police officers all pleaded not guilty through their attorneys to second-degree murder and other charges in the brutal beating death of Tyree Nichols.
They didn't even have the courage to look at me in my face.
That is Tyree Nichols' mother, Rovon Wells. A counterterrorism raid in northeast Syria has left four U.S. service members injured. The U.S. military operation took out a senior ISIS leader. CBS's David Martin has heard from National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
The target was Hamza al-Hamzi, and this time he apparently waited for the Americans to get close enough.
He was overseeing the group's deadly terrorist network in eastern Syria before he was killed in the raid.
There are about 900 American troops in Syria working with local Syrian forces to keep the ISIS terrorist network from staging a comeback. It's a deadly game of hide and seek, but no American troops were killed or wounded in all of last year.
The military has finished recovering Chinese balloon debris off the South Carolina coast, but the White House says it's possible the remnants of the three other objects shot down over the past week will never be found. CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
With the intelligence community now assessing that the three objects were likely benign, the White House defends the president's decision to have them shot out of the sky.
just for a second, put yourself in his shoes.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says the posture sparked by the Chinese spy balloon incident led the Pentagon's top brass to approach the commander-in-chief this way.
Mr. President, we don't know what these are. We're concerned about what they could be and about where they could be going and what the purpose might be. And we recommend that you take these down.
Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, The White House.
This is CBS News.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new play.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infection.